On this week's episode of the Early Fantasy Challenge podcast, we will be joined by the one and only Sasha Vazenkov. What else do I need to say? Welcome to episode number 16 of the Early Fantasy Challenge podcast. I am your humble servant, Frankie Sachs, here to help you build the perfect fantasy team. And as always, I am joined by the lovely and beautiful Vasiliki Karamuza. Vasiliki, you think 16 is a lucky number?
I'm not sure yet. 15 wasn't that much, so I hope this one is better, but I'm glad we're back here.
And as always, my partner in crime, Javier Gancedo.
What's up, everybody? Well, and we're joined today by the player that saved us all, not just last week, but all year round. We have a special guest, right?
Absolutely. Javi, do the honors, please.
Well, we have with us, like every month, the one and only Sasha Vazenkov. Sasha, what's up?
Hello. How are you doing?
Good. I mean, first of all, thank you for saving all of us, basically, last week. I know it's not your duty, it's not your job. Your main job is to win games, of course, but it's much appreciated by thousands of people that you played so well last week.
You know, like, I'm happy when people are happy, you know, about the game. I told it previous months, too. The game is growing, and, man, it's like 90% is the only thing that people cares. I don't know if this is great, because I don't know how they watch and in which perspective they watch the game of basketball, but I'm happy about their teams and when, you know, we give joy to people.
But Sasa, we're still behind from Serbia. We have less teams here in Greece. What can we do to grow that even more?
You know, I know that Serbia and Greece are the two main, like, powerhouses about the game. But in Serbia, yeah, you're right. Like, when we play against Red Star and Partizan, people are like, they talk only about this. So, you know, we have to grow the game more. You know, I'm sure you and all the guys who are working on the game, it will make it more interesting for the future and better and better and better to improve. So I think we'll catch them. We'll be there soon.
You're a bit of a polarizing figure when it comes to fantasy, because everybody who has you on your team, of course, wants you to do well. Anybody who doesn't have your team wants you to have the worst game ever, because everybody else has you. Do you feel that when you talk to people, that there are some who they don't have you, you're not their captain, and they just wish that you do poorly?
You know, I'm quiet, but I don't forget. I know how people throw me away after two bad games, you know? I have it in my back of my mind. So I know how it works. People want to win. But, you know, whoever has me on their team, I think they feel good right now.
Yeah, I won't say who, but one of us has had you on his team the entire season.
Yeah, I did the math. Frankie had you like every week, every single week without missing one. Vasiliki traded you three times in round
two.
13 and 17. What? It's true. Yeah, everybody can see that, you know? And I traded you five times. So I'm the guilty guy here.
And you wanted it to be six.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was 2 weeks ago. You had 70 points and I was about to trade you, but then Kendrick Nunn got injured. And then I kept you, and then you basically had one of your best games of the season. So, well, thank you.
I understand people. When they see the price, you know, it seems expensive. So I understand them. I have friends that want to sell me, so it's okay.
It happens.
All right. So before we get to Sasha's corner and his tips, first, Vasiliki, why don't you tell us, give props to the winners of our private league?
Yes, we have two because it was a double round. The first one is coming from Greece. It's Alexandros Tomaras, and he amounted 243.6 fantasy points last week. And the other one is Daniel Kostic. I don't know if he's a family member of Kostic that plays in the EuroLeague, but maybe that would be cool. Congratulations to both of you guys. Keep it up.
These are guys who obviously do not have Andres Obst and Wade Baldwin and Elijah Bryant on their teams.
Yeah. Probably, yeah. Yes.
Probably. Sasha had a good week, right? I mean, as far as I know.
Yeah, I had a good week, especially the first part of the double week, because the second, okay, I had Elijah Bryant too, which we didn't know that he will be a little bit injured. But yeah, I think now the players that most of the people had play good, especially, as I said, the first part of the double week. But now with unlimited trades, it's a little bit tricky, as always. I know you want me here before the unlimited trade, so to give more, like, to people more options. and to take the blame, all of us. Okay, I understand.
All right, so let's hear from you in the part that we call Sasha's Corner.
So, you know, as the game, it's now like 14 rounds to the end. I think people has the budget, so to have like 7 or 8 players. So I will start with the center position. I will not say again Nikola Milutinov. You know, he's my great friend. You know, for me, the best center in the league. So as I said, this is always an option. So you can take him without any doubt. But I will say that I pick 4 names that it's not only about this week, because as we said, the unlimited trades, you have to have a plan. It's not just for one game. You have to have some plans. So I pick up 4, but first of all, it's Eddie Tavares, also strategically because he's playing on Tuesday. He's good option. Then it's Dan Oturu, because he's always providing, he's always playing a lot. And Hapoel, I think they will bounce back. They have also Bayern home, Zvezda away, tough game, but he showed this year that he's playing good games. Then the third one is Moses Wright. He had a great game on Tuesday. Not so good against Milan, but Milan is a good defensive team, especially on the centers. That's one tip I can give to our you have to look also the opponents. And the fourth one is Rishon Holmes. He's playing a lot of minutes. Coach Ataman believes in him. And I think with those 4, also with Nikola, with those 5, if you choose 2, you're safe for the rest of the year, for the rest of the regular season. And you don't have to think about your center position. Of course, there's some more budget picks like Ketavius Hayes, like Kai Jones. Depends when Poirier will be back, but also Ndiaye from as well, even though he's not having a good recent 2 games. But those are budget picks. But for me, because center, you only have 2 positions, you have to spend your credits over there and like take 2 good centers and go till the end of the season like this. This is for the center position. I'll take a little bit longer today, but excuse me.
No, please.
Your show.
For the forward position also, I had 3 players. First is Cameron Taylor. To be honest and be fair, I didn't know his game much before the beginning of the season, but I'm impressed. He's playing really solid year. He's helping Valencia. For me, he's the most consistent player of Valencia. I know everybody's more impressed with Montero, Moore, Badio because of what they're doing, but for me, he's, if you want to say the number one of Valencia, I know Valencia doesn't have, you know, this star or they play team basketball, but for me, he's a must in a team. Then I'll pick my former teammate in Sacramento Kings, Trey Lyles, also because he's playing on Tuesday, but also he's playing and he has an amazing month and he's providing a lot and he's showing why he was like so many years in the NBA. And then a third pick, Juancho Hernan Gomez and Jordan Nwora, both of them playing heavy minutes. And as we know, fantasy is important to have heavy minutes, to choose the players that they are playing a lot, that coach trusts them. I think they will be there. Also, budget picks, Biberovic, now that Bonzi Colson is out. Butkevicius is playing good the last 2 games, so you can consider him. He's more defensive role, but he's taking rebounds, steals, making open shots. You know, if you want to risk, you can go with some other risky options. But, you know, as I said, people have the budget, and now you can take 7, 8 good players. And then finishing with the guard position, my first pick, and I think until we know what's the Theos Maledon situation, Facu Campazzo has to be in our teams. Then I think he'll play heavy minutes. He'll have more possessions, even more from what he has, and he'll give us good scores. I put a star next to Kendrick Nunn because we don't know when he will be back. But if he's back, unfortunately, we will not know probably until Tuesday, until tomorrow that is a game. But as soon as he's healthy, now he rests for 2-3 games. I think he will be back in his standards. And it's really, really good pick. And third, Talen Horton-Tucker. For me, player that many people will not like choose easily, but lately he's playing amazing, has confidence. If we read his interviews, he believes he's the best player in the league. So his confidence is high. And his coach, Charles, put him in the spots to be efficient 100%. And also, three more budget picks, Saben Lee. I think he has to be in all fantasy teams, my former teammate and good friend. Ife Ljungberg, especially with Lonnie Walker absence. One guy that he played amazing last, Andrea Lakic. He played amazing. Now with Vanya Marinkovic out, he'll be here more minutes and more minutes. Arian Lakic, excuse me. And he'll have more and more minutes. And Partizan needs this, you know, local energy, and he'll give it 100%. And for coaches, excuse me, just to finish, Vasiliki, I know you want to say something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just to finish, I'll go with Pepe Poeta. Bad loss, tough loss last week against Žalgiris. Again, two games at home with Partizan and Baskonia. Time to bounce back. And for his price, I think, of course, you have Spanoulis as an option against Virtus. They will bounce back too. But let's say you spend more credits to players. So Pepe Poeta, I think it's the right choice for the next two games.
Interesting. Well, where do we start? Vasiliki, you go first. Any questions for Sasha?
Yeah, I feel pretty confident about my centers because I have two out of the five you recommended. So I think I will be good there. I have a question about, you mentioned Campazzo. I went with Sylvain Francisco. Do you think that these are equal picks or would you prefer Campazzo?
No, like Sylvain Francisco, I had him in my team the first part of the double week on Tuesday when he played also amazing against Milan. But, you know, Nigel Willis goes his out, so it's equal pick, you know. It's a little bit more expensive than Faku.
Yes.
But as I said, Faku, you can use it also strategically because he's playing on Tuesday. And then you can balance to have three good captains of every day, you know, tier one, tier two, and tier three. Just only for that reason, I would pick Faku. And also Paris is giving a lot of points to the guards and especially to the opponent squad. We saw Dubai, how good they play last week. So I think the three stars right now of Real Madrid will produce numbers, Eddie Tavares, Trey Lyles, and Facu Campazzo. But also, of course, Sylvain is a great pick. Don't get me wrong.
I want to ask you about two of the players that you named, your former teammate Lyles and also Talen Horton-Tucker, who are both in their first year, in not just in the Euro League, but in Europe after the NBA, and that brings some adjustments. Does it concern you for players like that who are not cheap at all, that there may be some inconsistency, maybe not because it's the second half of the season, but there's still adjustments going on during the season to how basketball is played here?
You know, both of them, they were rotation players like in good teams for a lot of years. You know, they play a lot of games and sometimes heavy minutes, so they were important with important roles in NBA. So I think this makes it easier, their adjustment and adaptation to EuroLeague basketball. Of course, they'll have some ups and downs. And you know, I know that people, especially the gamers we have in the game, they want players to give always 30 and 35 and 25 and, you know, but also, like, let's say 16 or 17 is a decent score. You know, it's really good score. You know, EuroLeague is tough, and you can't have players to have always 25, 30. So, of course, they'll have some ups and downs. But I think as the times goes by, they'll be more consistent and more consistent.
I have also questions about two players. One is Mario Hesonja. He's playing really, really well in the Spanish league, but not so well in the EuroLeague, even when he started to get good numbers. He's not a big fan of PAR also, but... I mean, he plays in the first turn, but he's not one of the three Madrid players that you mentioned. And the other is, I think, his good friend, Janan Musa. He's going to come back. I mean, he came back already. Should we wait for his first big game to consider him, or should we try to take him right away?
Look, for Mario, I love his game. He's a great player, but fantasy-wise, you know, it's a bump. Like, he can go and get 35. He can go and, like, let's say, be on a bad night and gives you, let's say, 5-6. And then people will be pissed because, you know, he's a great player. Of course, always is an option. But I feel a little bit safer with the three other Madrid players right now, just because they play like on their positions. They are number one, and they have more the balls in their hand. Like Facu and Eddie, they affect the game more. About Canan, you know, when you come back from injury after so long, I need to give time to these players. And you know, Dubai right now, they have their roles. McKinley Wright is playing on extreme level. That also, it's one player that I want to say, like, praise him, because I was not familiar with his game before, and he's playing amazing. And you know, Philip has some ups and downs, but now we see the last game he played amazing, so he'll be more involved. And then Cabanguela, you know, I want to see how the Musa will fit back, and Dwayne Bacon, who like used a lot of possessions. So I want to see Canan, how he'll be back and fit like his role, adjust on how the team is built right now. So for now, I will stay a little bit away from this pick.
I have to ask you something else, which is about the Panini collection. I know that you're a fan. How do you like it?
I think, as I told you before, like the hardcover of Panini is really nice, really lit. And you know, I'm taking the stickers. I miss some, but you know, I feel like a kid, and it's good, you know, just to have something outside. It's still basketball. It's again basketball, but you know, something different, and reminds me how we were young and we collect cards of soccer and football and basketball, and you know, it's pretty nice. I also like put them, my teammates, I put them on my locker room. So if you see, I'll take a picture and send it to you. I have all my teammates on my locker, so you know, just to feel they're there with me.
Well, speaking of Panini, we are doing a giveaway of a box of your 2025-26 EuroLeague Panini stickers. So the graphic should be up on the screen now. There it is. And if you scan it, you'll have a chance to win. I, as people know, still a little bit salty that I didn't win the Panini cards that we gave away earlier this season, but I'm trying my hardest to win the stickers. Javi has his book. Sasha has his book. I have to get my book and win it. Vasiliki, are you in too?
Not yet, but I will have my book soon.
So yes, everybody try and win the stickers so that you can join Sasha and Javi and soon me in collecting the stickers.
Before you go, we have a pack of cards here. Can you imagine that we open it and it's you here? That would be cool. Let's see.
Oh, but we can say one prediction each and to see who is lucky today. No?
Okay, let's see. I'm getting you. I'm getting Sasha. How about you guys?
I'll go.
Philip Petrusev.
I'll go with Kevin Panther.
I'll go with, let's say, Nadir Hiffy.
Okay, let's see.
Probably nobody.
I cannot believe my eyes. I swear to God, this is not planned.
You knew something.
No. I have
Carson Edwards. This is all staged.
Carson Edwards, Ethan Almanza, Chuma Okeke, two Madrid players.
Okay.
And Juan Hernan Gomez. But I got Sasha, man.
Nice.
Can you believe it? It's unbelievable. Anyway, well, Sasha, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you very much, guys.
And see you next month, we hope. Good luck against Barca and against everybody else, basically.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
I swear to God, this wasn't planned. Like, it just happened. It's Sasha magic, I guess.
I'm not so sure he didn't set us up there, but I'll give you the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, it was sealed. I mean, you can see I open it in front of you guys. It's crazy.
Well, there's no doubt that now Javi is a winner by making that prediction. Sasha's a winner every week, especially yes. For those who never trade him from their fantasy team. But let's talk about the other winners from last week. Vasiliki, who was your winner last week?
Well, I have to go with Bukayo Zundu. He had two straight double-doubles and really helped Venus Vesta get two very important wins after a tough period of time. They had some losses, they lost a little bit of their position and their confidence, but now they're back on track, and Izundo was amazing. I think the news that Joel Bolomboy is coming back, even though he hasn't played in the EuroLeague yet, might have triggered something in Izundo, but it works for Zvezda, so they can all be happy.
I respect. Let me just ask you a follow-up question. So what you said, it triggered something that's in there, but should it trigger something that has to be nervous to have a player like that on our team, because the minutes may be dropping when Bolomboy is back?
Yeah, but he needed to show that he's important to the team and that he can provide. And it doesn't mean that if a player is coming back from an injury after 10 months, that Joel Bolonboy hadn't played a game, they're going to grab their minutes right away. You know, this internal competition always helps.
I think nice. he's been super effective, Isundu, and I put him in my team, actually. You want to know who's my winner in this double run?
Of course.
It is Trey Lyles of Real Madrid. He's been playing amazing with off-the-charts shooting percentages. Madrid is undefeated in the month of January, and he's been the best player in the team, basically. So, yeah, it looks like he adjusted to the EuroLeague like pretty well, and especially on offense, he's been unstoppable. And right now, he's a really solid fantasy value, especially knowing that he plays in turn one, like Sasha said. I think it's one of the players we must consider before round 25.
Did you just tell us he will be the MVP of the month?
No, not at all. Not at all. First, they have to win. Second, we have some certain Olympiacos player who has big numbers, and there's a lot of good options, like the one that I think Frankie is going to suggest that is also 4-1 and looking good.
Yeah, so Javi suggested somebody who's on Sasha's list. I would the same thing with Horton Tucker. For me, when I look at the winner, it's not just who had the biggest week, but who took advantage of an opportunity that was there. As we all know, Baldwin was a late scratch for the game on Wednesday, and a lot of people needed him because there's only one game on Wednesday, turn two of the first game of that round. The first round of last week. And Jordan Tucker took the ball literally in his hands and did everything you'd hope for. He scored 28 points, 28 PIR. It's not just that. He fouled up, Baldwin came back, he had 21 points, 22 PIR against Baskonia. He's got 10 straight games, double-digit scoring, half of them with at least 20 points. So he has made the full adjustment to the EuroLeague. I won't say that there are not some concerns going forward, some that I voiced before, that you just never know down the stretch run how somebody the first time in the EuroLeague may see something they haven't seen before adjust. And also, that's a hell of a backcourt between DeColo and Baldwin and lots of other guys that need to get their minutes. So you have to wonder, will he still get the ball in his hands as often as we'd like as fantasy players? But right last week, he took advantage of the opportunity. He scored. He produced. It was great. So he's my winner for the week.
Nice.
All right. Should we talk about last week's losers?
Yes, please. Should I go first?
Yes. Javi, please go first.
Okay. Well, I picked Nader Iffy of Paris Basketball, a player I love. Probably my favorite player to watch in the whole league. But he's not been playing well lately. It looks like the scouting reports are falling on him like really hard. He's not as unpredictable as he looked like, let's say, a month ago. And he's not putting up the numbers that he was putting a month ago. So, yeah, in that sense, I think he will bounce back because he's that type of player. But right now, he had a really, let's say, underwhelming week, double round week.
Yeah, scorers like that are always a bit questionable. We had this in the beginning of the season. We questioned whether or not if he could be a real great fantasy player because he's such a scorer. And for a long time he was, but you're right. There's pitfalls to guys who shoot a lot. As the go-to guy in his team, teams have really paid attention to him.
You can tell in the scoring race, he was the runaway leader, and now it's a four-way race. So yeah, it tells you that something's not working well.
Yeah, Vasiliki, I believe you're a loser for this week, is also a scorer.
Yes, and I'm glad that Sasha is no longer with us because it's one of your teammates. And I think you wouldn't appreciate that much. So I'm talking about Tyler Dorsey. He had two games with single-digit PIR, I think, for the first time this year. He had been amazing at the beginning of the season, coming with great confidence after the Eurobasket and great Greek League finals, where he was the X factor for Olympiakos last year. He has a very different role with the team this season. But right now, other people need to get involved in the game. And I think that's why Dorsey kind of took a step back the other way around, that it was happening at the beginning of the season with Vezenkov, for instance, or with Fournier. But now these need to get their numbers up too. So it's kind of a balancing process. And Dorsey was a little behind. And I think because he was on many teams, and he's an expensive player because he had been playing amazing, it cost too many fantasy players. That's why he's on my loser category.
I understand why you have him there, and I get that for his price he disappointed. But I think that for many fantasy players, at least the wiser among us, you could look at what Dorsey did last season, where he was completely a non-factor. The surprise for me was the role he got this season, how great he was. And then you see that as the season goes on, they're bringing more guys who can take minutes from him. They brought Monte Morris. They brought now Corey Joseph is the new guy. So it's clear that they want to supplement that role, that they want him playing those big minutes. And as he continued to produce, I think fantasy people got seduced. For me, he was always someone who I did not want to pay that price for. So in some ways, I feel it's a little bit harsh to call him the loser, but I get where you're coming from. All right. Before we get to my loser, I have a clip that I'd like to show you.
Oh my God. And also there's a newcomer that I think that can be really great, and that's Zach Elias from Asvel. I think he can have Maledon's number with Asvel. He's coming from a great season with Würzburg. So I think down the future he can be a great fantasy pick, but we will see.
All right. I would say
Well,
this is in the future. This is when you were saying he might be a fan. Great, he's had a half a season, but hasn't quite worked out for you, Vasiliki, or for Zach Selyas, who was my loser for the week. He's actually my loser for the month. He was the worst fantasy player, first wave you'd have had in the entire month of January. His combined PAR over the last six games is the same as his average. It's zero. In six games, it's a total of zero. In that time, you'd say, oh, well, he hasn't gotten the minutes. 96 minutes, he's averaged 3.3 points. He's made 2 of 19 three-pointers. His plus minus is a negative 23, and his price in that time has dropped 2.1 credits.
the only good thing about that clip is that I had longer hair and I was more tanned because it was the first episode of the season.
Now, I will say that you made two picks in that segment of guys that were not in a team but you believe have a big season, and you nailed it with the other one, who's Nikola Milutinov. So
Okay, at
a kudos
least
to you.
50% of good choices, it's good. It's not
Yes. And
bad.
Javi, for
50%
the
is good.
record, you had Camigella in that segment and Kamar Baldwin. So I won't count Baldwin because he was hurt. But you nailed it with Camigella. And I had Dwayne Washington and my boy Salum Niang, who has been both my winner of the week and my loser of the week this season.
I have to say something about Zach, which is that in my heart he's always a winner because I saw him going to games with Oasis gear, hoodies and t-shirts. So in that sense, he's the most stylish guy in the league.
So look, it's nothing personal, but Vasiliki, you got this one wrong, and Selyas. There's a lot of Aswell players who I think that maybe talk, considering where Aswell is in the standings, we talk about their players way too often, but for their prices, there's a lot of value there. There has not been a lot of value in Zach Selyas. So,
Yes, that's unfortunate.
yes. All right, let's move along to our question marks. Vasiliki, you go first.
Well, I think I have to go with Dario Brizuela from Barcelona. He has a lot of ups and downs. Last week, he scored 25 points against Dubai and he was the absolute MVP. But then he had 0 points against Asvel. He only played 5 minutes. Less than 6 minutes. So I haven't figured him out yet. Sometimes he's very important to the team. Sometimes he's not getting the shots in, so he doesn't play much. So I don't know what I'm getting from him.
Yeah, I echo that. I thought that maybe after the first game last week that we're in for something big, and then he didn't get the minutes. I don't know what to expect. Javi, you have thoughts on Dario?
Yeah, well, they have two elite shooters in Kevin Pönter and Brizuela, and it looks like when somebody plays well, the other doesn't, because they go with a guy who is hot, which is totally logical. So it's hard to figure him out, and in that sense, it's a perfect question mark. So yeah.
Yeah,
What
no,
about yours?
I think we'd be better off if maybe Coach Pasquale played fantasy.
Yeah, probably, because Brizuela is cheaper. No, but I have Trent Forrest of Vasconia, mainly because I kind of figure him out. Like he's potentially a super fantasy player. He drives, he can shoot the floater, he can shoot the three, he can pass the ball, and he had some monster games along the way. Especially he had one against, I think it was Real Madrid in the Spanish league, that he had a PAR of 43, I think. But it didn't translate after the injury. He hasn't played at that same level. I was expecting big things from him, but it just didn't happen. But I think it's going to happen. I don't know exactly when. So Yeah, that's why he's a question mark. I think he's a big PAR waiting to happen, but we just don't know when.
All right, so mine is Brian Angola.
Oh,
yeah.
Don't get me started.
Yeah.
I need to find a way to pick him, but I just couldn't find the right. I mean, I have to go back to the fantasy lab, as I call it, and start trading players with unlimited trades and see if I can fit him, because, wow, he's been
so
amazing.
So for you, he's not a question mark. You're all
for me, he's a winner. He had a super game against Barca. He also played well in the French league. I don't know. He's surprising a lot of people. He wasn't playing that well in the Spanish league, but now all of a sudden he's in the right chemistry, let's say, in the right environment.
He had a good season last year in the Euro Cup with Turk Telekom. This game that you mentioned against Barcelona was his first EuroLeague game. He drew 9 fouls, which at first I thought, is that sustainable? But then I looked last year, he drew almost 6 fouls per game in the Euro Cup. Again, jump from the Euro Cup to the EuroLeague, but that's a skill. Drawing fouls is a skill. He has that skill. I wonder, though, the chemistry is so important in basketball. It's been 2 games. So we'll see guys make that big splash, but then all of a sudden, you need something else to keep that there, and he's so new to the team. It's for me, it's a question mark. I'm not running out to get him. You know, if he has another big game and Javi's proved right, that's great for everybody. For me, he's still a question mark, but certainly a player to keep an eye on.
All right.
Looking back to as we get ready, let's do a quick recap of the injuries. There's a lot of injuries to be concerned with. For Partizan, Vanya Marinkovic is out for the rest of the season. Theo Maldon is out a bit for, we don't know how long, for Real Madrid. With Kendrick Nunn, we're not sure if he'll be back this week. Elijah Bryant missed a game last week, which burned a lot of people because it was announced very late. But I expect him back this week. Tyreek Jones could miss some time for Olympiacos. So, Vasilki, of all those injuries, which one is most notable? For you, from a fantasy perspective?
I think Eliza Bryant, because she's super expensive. A lot of people had him on their teams, and now they're wondering, should we trade him? Should we keep him? Is he going to play this week? Because with Nan, I think he hasn't played for 2 games now, so he's out of everybody's roster. And Coach Ataman said it's a little bit complicated. He's still in pain. We don't know if he's coming back. So I would stay away from Nan this week, even though Panathinaikos is playing as well. So it should be a favorable matchup if he's back and he can have a monster's game. But I think Brian has a big question mark above his head right now for many people. So I don't know. If you're telling me he's coming back, then I'm between 3 players now. I had Francisco, but then Sasa mentioned Cabasso, and now I also want Brian, so I don't know what to do.
No, I hear you, and I think that the player that would gain the most if he sits out another game is Vasa Micic, but he's not a cheap player either, so I would be careful about joining him, but that's the guy who might see the biggest bump in minutes. Chris Jones also a little bit, but I don't think there's one clear answer there for up. Well, the trickiest part of it all is that we have to have our picks in this week by Tuesday night.
Yeah.
And they don't play until Thursday. So that brings me to
the next topic, which is, will Nikola Milutinov be ready? It looks like he will. But if Tyreek Jones is for some reason out and then Milutinov is not 100%, Donta Hall has a lot of value. And he should play big minutes, and he should get a high PAR against Barca. And he will be the player to watch. But will we know? I don't know. But I mean, even knowing that Tyreek Jones is out, I think Donta Hall is a good option anyway.
Well, speaking of the deadline this week, the game starting Tuesday, let's talk about this week's games. So the fact that there is a Tuesday night game, as I said, it complicates matters. I think it's important for people to, fantasy-wise, to really think about getting somebody from a turn one game. That turn one game is Paris against Real Madrid. Now, Sasha, in his recommendations, recommended a Real Madrid guard, a Real Madrid forward, and a Real Madrid center. I will say, stats-wise, it's worth noting that Paris has been the third worst fantasy defense against guards. That means opposing teams, the guards are averaging the third most fantasy points, and they have the worst defense against fantasy centers and the second worst defense against fantasy forwards. So Paris,
okay, let's get them all.
So yeah, there's a reason to consider them all. I think almost anybody should have a Real Madrid player as their captain on turn one, just in case somebody goes off. I don't know what number your player that you might have on turn one has to get for you to not captain Vezenkov on turn two, assuming you have Vezenkov, but there's a lot there for turn one.
I have to say that this one Paris player that I'm considering, that is Jared Roden. He had a PAR of 26 against Madrid in Madrid. He had a PAR of 17 last week. I mean, in the last game. That would be my only choice because Nadirifi, I don't know, maybe he'll have a bounce back game, but I think one of his worst games of the season came against Real Madrid. He had 1 of 11 3-point shots, and even when his team scored 90 points, he wasn't scoring that much that night and shooting a lot. So, yeah, without Maledon, who played really well in that game. I mean, the players that mentioned Sasha are cool, but I still go with Hezonja. Hezonja has been
Yeah.
sensational lately, so we'll see.
And the big game this week, of course, the rivalry series game of the week is the Turkish Derby. We don't always go there fantasy wise with the derbies because it's a bit nerve-wracking sometimes, these games. But is there anyone from that game that you would consider?
Well, a lot of players, I think. Horton Tucker to begin with. I think he's in very good momentum, and it took him a little time to adjust to the EuroLeague because he's a super physical player, and now I think he's finding the way to get to the basket. Sometimes he looks like a running back in NFL, like using all that strength and all that speed against defenders. But also Saben Lee, other than that game that he had a PAR of -6, he's been playing really well. So we have one good option per team at least, but I'm sure there are more, right?
There are, and I want to see which of these guys you have on your team. So I think we should move on to the segment where we show our teams. Let's show our cards. Javi, would you have the honors of going first?
Yes, of course. I'm not going to talk about which trades I made because I think it's pretty much everybody
Wow.
but Saben Lee and Vasenkov, right? So let's go play by play. I have to say that after what Sasha said and what has been discussed here, especially I'll try to get Ryan Angola somehow. But so far, I have one player for turn one, which is Mario Hezonja. Like I said, I believe in his potential, and I believe it's a very good game for him against Paris. So I'm going with him as my only turn one player. And turn two, I have Saben Lee, who is pretty much in every team. Arjen Lakic, who had a super game against Bayern Munich. Oh no, in Bayern Munich's court against Hapoel Tel Aviv, and I think that for 4.9 credits is a great option, along with Vezenkov, Oturu, and Justinian Jessop for now, because like I said, I'm going for Angola. And then in turn three, I have Ithundu, who I like I said, he's been super effective lately, along with Ayan Sah, who's playing a little bit better, Francisco for now, and Ife Lundberg. We'll see. I think I'm gonna make some changes after what Sasha said, but so far this is my team. We'll talk about the coach later.
I will say, looking at your team, that I don't know if I'd recommend making changes. That's a very strong team. I just hope that you don't run out there to make changes and make the team weaker. I'm a little bit jealous. That's a very good team.
All right, thanks. We'll see.
Wow, Frank is being nice.
Yeah, it's a
I'm
first.
always nice.
Well. Not always.
All right, so who's next?
I think it's Frankie.
I go next. So,
Yes.
I will go by turns. My turn one player is Campazzo. It's a combination of the turn one and the injury to Maledon. I think he will just play more minutes. And when he has the ball, he gets more minutes, ball in his hand, good things happen. And as we said, Paris, it's always good to have a superstar playing against Paris. So he's my turn one guy. In turn two, I have, of course, Sasha Vezenkov. I have Andreas Obst, who I'm surprised we didn't that Sasha didn't mention him, but he's a guy that since the coaching change has been absolutely outstanding. Ife Lundberg. And at center, I'm going to risk it, I think, with Bruno Fernando. And of course, Saben Lee, I have in my turn two. And my turn three guys are Filip Trusev, Richaun Holmes, who we spoke about, Melvin Ayinka, who probably won't get into play, but I think at that price is has some value. And the same with the injuries to Panathinaikos, Samadorov has been getting some minutes, 4.3 credits. Again, he probably won't play for me. But when I was looking to fill out the end of the bench, I felt that there was some value there. And yeah, that's what I'm rolling with.
Yeah, I have to say two things. First, I like the pick of Bruno Fernando. I think he has a lot of potential, and we haven't discussed him in this in this episode so far. And second, I think it's the first time in 3 years that I see you have less credits than I have. So it's so satisfying. It's so good.
I mean, I think it's been that way almost all season. But
all right, well.
I'll tell you, I have a second team that I sometimes just play around and do goofy stuff, and it's I didn't think it was a good team, and I looked the other day and it has I have a lot less points on that team and I have more credits. So
it happens.
Yeah, I must have had some bad weeks where I lost a lot of credits and I'm paying the price for it now.
I didn't want to say this when Sasha was here, but the 4 weeks or the 5 weeks I didn't have Sasha, I gained credits in all five of them.
Okay.
All right, Vasilika, it's your team.
Well, okay. I made 6 trades, including my coach. I got Otura, I got Francisco, I got Getritis, I got Musa, and I got Cavalier. I traded Tavares because I think that Real has many stars, and sometimes the PR is getting more like equal among those players, and for his price I wasn't feeling very comfortable, so I went with Uturu instead. And I also have Rishon Holmes. I kept Holmes, I kept Lee, I kept Talen Horton-Tucker, Sasa Vazego, of course, and Justinian Jessup. So, but after what Sasa said, I'm thinking about trading Francisco and getting Campazzo. So that means I will save some credits, around 2, and I can upgrade some of my bench players. We will see. Probably that's what I will end up doing. But for now, that's where I'm standing.
If you can afford it, I would do. I would trade for Angola instead of Musa. I would trade for Campazzo instead of Francisco. And I would go for Tavares instead of Holmes. That's what I would do.
I don't think all those can fit both Tavares and Facu. It's too expensive because Tavares is like 5 credits more expensive than Holmes.
But so, I think I would have to do the math, which I can't do without it friendly. But if you traded, I think, what did you say, Musa for Angola, you'd get more credits. And if you traded...
You get 1.6 with Francisco instead of Campazzo, you get like 2 point something. Maybe, yeah. Maybe you can afford
it. Maybe do. I think I'm still not there on Musa. I'm just still, you know, he's not all the way back, and the price is somewhat discounted, but it's too rich for my blood right now.
I think I will need to risk with some players, and I think that's my gamble this week. It might pay off, it might not. He has lost 2 full credits from his price at the beginning of the season because right. He had been injured and he was right. Always losing credit. So I think it's a good gamble to make, but we will see.
So I hope for your sake it's a good gamble.
Let's talk about coaches.
Let's talk about coaches. All right, Vasiliki, who you got?
I went with Zalgiris coach, Thomas Masiulis. I'm not sure. I wanted to spend more credits on my players. Zalgiris is playing against Baskonia. Baskonia has kind of lost the trade to the play-ins. So mathematically, they're not really chasing the wins. And I saw them playing last week against Panathinaikos and against Fener. And I don't think they have what it takes to surpass Zalgiris. But we will see. I'm not 100% confident.
Yeah, there's no coach that I'm 100% confident in this week, which is a bit scary. I, for now, have Itudis. I expect a bounce-back game for Apoel at home. But I have to say, Sasha got me thinking about Poeta, who's much cheaper.
Yeah.
And the worst thing, the biggest kick in the teeth, is this, the coaches are so important, right? And
yeah.
It's so bad to lose. We all had a Tudis last week and we lost that game on Friday in overtime.
I don't know how that happened.
They were up at 27. Know. Yeah.
We all lost 30 points because from 25 we went to minus five.
Yeah.
Not me. I traded for Saras, which takes me to the next topic. I have Ataman as head coach. Let's begin with that. We have 3 different coaches. I was waiting for this moment to happen. In the past 24 rounds, I had a negative coach 4 times, Frankie 7 times, Vasiliki 11 times. So trust my coach. He's going to do well.
Yeah, I mean, the worst part is I try to go for the safest thing. It's the first thing change I make every week. So those 7 times, it was those are big upsets. And that's when I'm stuck. I don't know this week. Can we trust Apo at home? Did Sasha get it right with Puerta? Not that that's a slam dunk. Even Ataman at Asvel, right? That's
yes.
Without Milan, road game. Crazier things have happened. There's no slam dunk coach pick, and it makes me nervous.
Ataman is your guy, clearly.
Yeah, I think he has better chances of winning because Panathinaikos lost to Maccabi. They can't afford to lose more games. And even without none, as well as a winnable game for Panathinaikos.
They played Maccabi without Lonnie Walker. That should have been a winnable game. Sometimes you get into a bad run. I don't know. I'm just saying crazier things have happened. All of a sudden, Angola's there. That's a team that wants to prove. The players want to prove themselves. They got rid of Nando De Colo. Guys want to step up. Yeah. I'm not saying that I'd predict as well, but for the price, and that's another thing to bring to, if you're going to lose to somebody you spent 4 or 5 credits on, don't spend 8+ credits on an Ataman and then get the -10. That is a tough pill to swallow. But all right, we're going to move on from the coaches and get to my favorite part of the show.
Vasiliki, which is?
Please tell them. Tell the people, what is my favorite part of the show?
Get featured, get rewarded.
That's right. This is my favorite part of the show. It's when you, our viewers, our listeners, send in questions and comments and stories and whatever it is that you would like to react to. You can see right now on the screen, you can scan on your phone, scan and enter to send all these things in. And then we, without having seen them before, are forced to react and tell you what we think about whatever it is that you're sharing with us. And every month, we also give a prize to the person with the best. I don't know if it's the best comment or if it's random. That I actually don't know. But you have a chance to win a prize if you send something in. So we're going first here. Let me open this up. Vasiliki, you are going first.
Okay.
And you are going to react to a prediction from L. Jurkovicius, I believe it says. Okay. My prediction is that in the final four, we will see Fenerbahce, Hapoel Tel Aviv, Barcelona, and one of the Greek teams. So the question for each of you, but you, I guess you go first, Vasiliki, which Greek team will be in the final four and why?
There's no, absolutely no way I'm going to answer this question because I hope both of our teams will be there. I see Fener there for sure. Hapoel has great chances. I wouldn't say I believe Barcelona will be in the final four. They will fight pretty well in the playoffs, but I'm not sure, depending on the matchup. We don't have the full picture yet, but I hope both of our Greek teams will be there. And one of them is going to lift the trophy, I hope.
Frankie, if you give your prediction, I'll give mine.
I just say that this is such a, at this point, it's so early to try and make this prediction only because there's so many tiebreakers involved. We have no idea what the quarterfinals, the playoffs are going to look like. You could have, we could potentially have those two teams, Panathinaikos and Olympiacos, play each other in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And by the way, Vasiliki, in case you didn't know, if they play each other in the playoffs, they can't both make the final four.
Yeah, I know. I'm aware of that.
Okay, good.
I'm aware.
If I had to pick between the two of them, I would say Olympiacos. Olympiacos may have a bump on the road because they are still adding talent. But if you keep adding talent, that's ultimately a good thing. Tyreek Jones came, he may be hurt, but that's. I mean, a trio of centers that they have, that I don't think the EuroLeague has ever seen anything like that. They keep adding, like we were saying before with Dorsey, they've added more guys, more wing players. If it all comes together, I think that team right now is a team with the highest ceiling in the league. So if I had to choose between the two of them, I would say Olympiacos makes it over Panathinaikos, although they could both make it. Javi?
If you're not giving your prediction, I will give
mine. I said Olympiacos over Panathinaikos.
Okay, then that's my prediction too. If I have to pick one of them, I think it's Olympiacos has a better chance, but I think it's going to be both, really. So,
well, you wanted me to make my prediction of the entire Final Four?
Yes, please. No.
I mean, like good. I said, it's...
No, it depends. I mean, when we have the playoff bracket,
that's right,
and that's when we do the plan, yes, the Final Four predictions.
Yeah, I mean, predicting the final four teams right now is the same as predicting what player you might pick out of a Panini sticker pack.
Sometimes you can get it right. Yeah,
that's
right.
Yeah, exactly. The teams are 20, and not all of them are in contention to go to the Final Four, and the players are over 200. So it's not exactly the same, but yeah, I get your point.
All right, Javi, you ready for your question slash comment?
Yeah, they warned me that this is going to be a really strange one. So let's see.
All right, this comes from Chan San. Everyone will notice how much Javi and Coach Tutus look alike. I actually have to say I hadn't noticed that.
Me neither.
When they meet during the Final Four, a heartfelt dialogue will unfold between them. You're my long-lost brother.
All right. Well, Coach Tutus and I get along very well. We go a long way back, and we're good friends. We talk often. And I don't know, but I never thought that... I thought that Coach Tutus looked a little bit like Tony Curtis, you know, the old actor, like from the 20th century. But I never thought that we looked like each other, really.
I think we're going to have you guys stand next to each other and look really close.
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah, I mean, why not? But well, thank you. It's always good to be compared with such a handsome man. So good.
Maybe if you had the same haircut, I say it would help.
Yeah, but I would need a hair implant for that, so no.
All right, my comment is from Stravos Papadimas.
Stavros.
What Vasiliki said.
By the way, greetings to the Lithuanian community, and I have to apologize for Frankie's pronunciations of every Lithuanian name under the sun.
Stravos, is that wrong?
Stavros. V and then
Stavros.
R. Yes.
Yeah, it's time for glasses. That was just me misreading. Okay. We have to give credit to Monaco and Valencia for the basketball they play. 100%. I could not agree more.
That was a comment?
That was the comment.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a simple one, right? What do we love about basketball? What do we love about the EuroLeague basketball in particular? It's the way people play. There's times where I will... turn on games from other competitions and think, what is this? So there's EuroLeague basketball, which is a notch above everything else for the team play. But then what Valencia and Monaco do, they play in a way that's very enjoyable to play to watch. A lot of teams do, but those two, yeah, I agree. Great comment. I give props to both of them. No one has anything to add?
No, really, no. You have something to add.
Well, I just want to invite everybody who's watching to join us, right? We have a campaign, the Be Our Guest campaign, and we're inviting you, the viewers of the podcast, to join us. Do you think what you have it takes to come here and deal with my nonsense and also Vasiliki and Javi, but also my nonsense? If you do, scan and you could join us on a future episode and you'll get to talk about all your knowledge and I will ask you lots of ridiculous questions and it'll be lots of fun. So scan, join, and featured guests will also receive your league prizes. Any parting words from you two before we wrap up here?
Yeah, I want to remind you about this and I'm going to stick this in my computer all season long, I promise.
And I will probably take Facundo Cabasso and if Francisco has a better game, I will blame Sasa for that, so... be aware.
Lots of changes coming, right?
It's a win-win for Vasiliki, right? I mean, yes. if Campazzo plays well, she wins, and if not, then come on, man.
Then it's Sasa's fault. No, wait, he doesn't give us a break when we get him out of our teams.
If you have Campazzo as your captain, turn one. What does he have? How many points does he need for you not to have Sasha as a turn two captain?
I think 28 and above.
Okay,
25.
25 even, you keep him as captain. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. All right, let's see. I've got Campazzo, so we'll see how that goes. But let me just say before we go to everybody, thank you so much for watching and being part of the EuroLeague Fantasy Challenge podcast community. Please tell your friends about it. Like the podcast, share the podcast, subscribe to the podcast, interact with us, send us questions on the YouTube channel. Javi and I are always there answering. People give us lineup suggestions. They ask about their lineups. Sometimes I've even had people break injury news I wasn't aware of there. So be part of it. And we will see you back here again next Monday.